Over the years, Daryl Steinberg has been a frequent guest with us on Air Talk as the Senate President pro tem here in California. He's now the mayor of Sacramento. And one of his focal points in his different leadership positions in the state has been concerns about mental illness and how to help Californians who are struggling with mental health challenges. Now, he's been appointed by Governor Gavin Newsom to head a commission looking into answers to the homelessness crisis in the state, which in many cases has very close links with individuals who are struggling with mental illness. With self-medication through substances to which they become addicted, very complex and highly diverse problem that the state faces. Daryl Steinberg, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
Larry, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, and I'm proud to serve as co-chair with Mark Ridley Thomas from Los Angeles. We're co-chairing Governor Newsom's task force together here.
And of course, Mark Ridley Thomas, the Los Angeles County Supervisor, has also taken this up as a significant issue. So as you address this, one of the things I'm struck by is the crisis has grown so quickly that it seems like any sort of a proposal for additional housing units, for supportive services, whatever it is outstripped by just the magnitude of the problem. So what keeps you from getting discouraged that government can even address this?
Well, it's a great question, and it's absolutely true. I mean, if you look at Los Angeles, if you look at Sacramento, if you look at all parts of the state, we're actually getting tens of thousands of people off the streets. The challenge, of course, is that they are replaced by double and triple the numbers of people. And the latest point in time counts in Los Angeles and Sacramento and other parts of the state tell us that while we still have a chronic homeless problem in terms of people who have been out on the streets for a long time, Skid Row and other places, that there's also a significant housing affordability issue here, because more people are becoming homeless because of rising rents, because they're living in a very fragile state, housed, and it's so easy, whether it's a broken down car or an unanticipated medical issue, a lost job, to go from fragile and housed to fragile and homeless. And one of the messages here is that we must have a prevention and intervention strategy to prevent more people from becoming homeless. Why am I not discouraged? Because I still believe we can make this better. I never say, and nobody in there could credibly say we're going to cure the problem, but we can make it much better if we have the political will. And if we are smart about putting forward the right kinds of investments and strategies.
Does the state have any role when it comes to sweeps of homeless encampments? We have the Idaho court decision, which makes it far more challenging for cities who want to remove homeless residents who are living on the streets. Does the state have any role in that, or is this all up to local jurisdictions to deal with any limits set by Idaho law?
It is not just a local problem. And I want to, you know, commend Gavin Newsom, because he has decided in his first 6 months to put his money, specifically his budget proposal, where his values are, and put forward significant resources for cities and counties to be able to address the shelter crisis and the housing issues as well. But I want to step back here and say something that is common sense and what the courts are telling us. They're telling us that you cannot tell people they can't camp unless you have sufficient shelter. That's essentially it. The converse of that is if we follow through on our commitment to build sufficient shelter, the courts would give us the ability to enforce the anti-camping laws and say to people, you can't live outside. We don't have the moral high ground currently because we don't have sufficient shelter capacity. And one observation that I have that I want to translate into action as we begin this work is that we are so fixated on permanent housing, and understandably so, we need more permanent housing. We acknowledge that it'll take 5 years, 10 years to build sufficient amount of permanent housing, which, by the way, is very expensive to build and subsidize, that we've essentially said, well, we will allow people to live on the streets. We will accept this social condition until we solve the housing crisis. I think we've got to gain some clarity here as a state to say that not only do we need to house people, but we need to perform those triage functions, the case management, and help people with the substance use and mental health problems from the inside. We've got to get people indoors. Indoors. It should be unacceptable to all of us that so many people are living outdoors, and we must shelter people. And not shelter as the end, but shelter is the absolute beginning. And so I want to look at the various jurisdictions around the country that have put a premium on getting people indoors, what it takes, what it costs, what laws are necessary in order to effectuate that, and use the indoors as the place to triage people, not the riverbanks, not the streets, and not the alleyways of cities throughout California. That and a robust prevention and early intervention strategy around helping people who are on that edge, who could advance and increase their tenancies, length of tenancies, if we found a way to step up in the right way.
I want to, when we come back, ask you about ways of better intervening and helping individuals who have recently become homeless. Because when we talk about homeless people, I think what comes to mind is someone who's been unhoused for years, living on the street, very marginal existence. But as we know, a significant percentage of people that are homeless are recently homeless. They're going to be housed again or run the risk of falling into that chronically homeless population. So what are better interventions we can use early on to help people when they might be in a better position to get a job, to get a house? We'll talk about that with Daryl Steinberg, co-chairing the California Commission on Homelessness, appointed by Governor Gavin Newsom. Back after a live update from Julie Slater. Good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about the complexity of the homeless crisis that California faces. And with us, one of the people who's been charged with trying to solve the problem, the mayor of Sacramento, Daryl Steinberg, the former president pro tem of the California Senate, and co-chair with L.A. County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas of the Homelessness Commission set up by Governor Gavin Newsom. If you have questions for him, there's a great chance for you to have his ear and ask him what you think's important about it. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. Daryl, one of the things that we talk about a lot is the diversity of the homeless population. We have certain stereotypes that come to mind. But there are a significant number of people who are fairly recent. These are acutely homeless individuals. They're going to end up housed, perhaps, or fall into the chronic homeless category. And I've always wondered, is there more that the state or cities and counties can do to help individuals in the immediacy of their fresh homelessness? And in some cases, that might even mean helping them find jobs in places with lower costs of living, doing what thousands of Californians have done, gone to places like Phoenix, Las Vegas, Portland, other places where it's cheaper to live, getting jobs there. Is there more California can do to help those individuals? Because maybe living long-term in a high-cost-of-living place like coastal California isn't possible.
Well, of course, it wouldn't be right, and we don't have the ability to tell people to leave the state for lower-cost areas. But I do think there are a lot of things we can do for people who've become newly homeless. As part of the recently passed budget, by the state legislature and signed by the governor, local governments will now have at their disposal about $650 million of flexible resources that we can, in fact, use to enhance either the existing federal vouchers or create our own vouchers, if you will, to help people get housed quickly. We call it rapid rehousing, to induce landlords to rent to people who need a place to live. Secondly, we've got more money than we've had ever before, not only the Southern California, the Los Angeles ballot propositions, but the state No Place Like Home initiative, billions of dollars to be able to build more housing. And one of the questions that, again, I want to ask and answer as part of our commission effort is, should we be spending $500,000 a door to build more permanent supportive housing? Because it doesn't take a math wizard to know that with that kind of price per door, you're never going to get to the volume of people who need to be rapidly rehoused and permanently housed for the long term. Third, you're absolutely right. Employment skill training and retraining needs to be an essential piece of what we do for people who find themselves in the worst of situations. And we've established throughout our state these street teams where people who are homeless can earn some money by helping clean up the neighborhoods. But it's got to be much deeper than that, obviously. And finally, we can't ignore the political and ideological and difficult issues of just cause eviction and the rent issues. And, you know, I know David Chu, I commend him, the assemblyman from San Francisco, who's working hard in the legislature to try to put through some rent protection for people. And the balance is, you don't want to create a disincentive to build more supply, obviously. But at the same time, we cannot afford to have more people become homeless. And so there needs to be a reasoned solution, whether they be temporary rent caps, some form of protection for tenants who are getting evicted and ending up as one of the statistics living in their cars or living in shelters or on the street. And so with these new resources, there's a lot we can do to help people who are newly homeless so that they don't end up being the long-term homeless.
JSK writes on the page, back to the question that I asked about assisting people potentially relocating, getting employed elsewhere with a lower cost of living. Not tell, but help people move. Good question that ideologues refuse to acknowledge, but regular people get. And so I do want to come back, because it seems like whenever I ask this question of people who are advocates for homeless residents, it's sort of like, well, you can't force people to move. You can. It sort of gets... not the question I was asking, which, again, thousands of Californians determined that, you know, I'm going to need to move. It's too expensive to live here. My odds of getting one of these very highly paying jobs that's going to allow me to pay huge rent or buy a house likely isn't going to happen. I'm going to go live in a place with lower cost of living where I can rent or buy something. Are there not ways without pushing people out of the state, but helping people, some people for whom their lives would be improved if they lived in a lower cost of living place elsewhere?
Look, I am not ideological about this, and we ought to be open to any innovative suggestions. If the idea here is to create an incentive pot to help people relocate to lower cost areas of the state or the country, let's consider it. We will look at that. I hadn't heard that idea before, to be honest. And I think that there is no idea not worth considering, given the magnitude of our problem. It goes back to what I mean, to maybe my central point. We have got to change the way we look at this. We need some clarity. There are too many people out on the streets. We need more shelter. There are too many people who can't afford the cost of living. What are we doing to either protect their tenancies or help them find a better and more stable way to live? This commission will look at best practices, no doubt about it, because there are some good practices around. But we're also not going to be afraid to ask some questions that maybe haven't been asked before, including whether or not, once we have sufficient shelter capacity, whether people should be allowed to live on the streets, and whether or not we ought to look at the laws around involuntary question, which has come up in the mental health arena a lot. Very complicated set of laws. But
so you're talking about, for example, the whatever percentage of individual might say, I'd rather pitch my tent in the park than live in this particular facility with a lot of other homeless people who I may not get along with and not want to deal with. I'd rather live by myself in the park. The question is whether, from a civil liberties perspective, people would be free to do that.
I don't believe it's a civil right for anyone to live on the street. But frankly, we as a state do not have the moral high ground because we have not built sufficient capacity, sufficient shelter. By the way, with the intensive substance abuse and mental health services for the people they need them, and with the continuum towards hopefully lower cost efficiency housing, not $500,000 a door, we have not built that system to capacity so that we can say that living on the streets or in the park or on the riverbank is not a civil right. And so it's the combination of seeing this as the public safety and public health emergency that it is, stepping back and gaining some clarity about what it's going to take to actually get people off of the streets, and what are we going to do to prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place. Not easy, but I believe that we can move the needle. There are some things that, you know, are out of government's control here, but yet we do have the responsibility to try to affect the problem. Mayors are on the front lines.
Yeah.
Mayor Garcetti has got helped get thousands of people off the streets. So has the County Board of Supervisors, but they need an active partner in the state, and I think they finally have one.
Well, and your city deals with this all the time. I visit Sacramento typically 2-3 times a year, and I stay at a hotel that's on the river there, and I see just on the other side on the banks all the tents that are up and the people that are living along the beautiful Sacramento River. It's a huge challenge your city faces, just like all the other urban centers of California. We'll continue with Daryl Steinberg, Sacramento mayor, head of California's Commission on Homelessness and Supportive Housing, along with Mark Ridley Thomas, L.A. County Supervisor, back with 1 minute on Air Talk. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Larry Mantle with the mayor of Sacramento, Daryl Steinberg, former president pro tem of the California Senate, and the co-chair of California's Commission on Homelessness and Supportive Housing. We're at 866-893-KPCC. Michael in Alhambra, I appreciate your patience waiting. Your question, please, for Mayor Steinberg.
Yeah, one problem that I have with these so-called problem solvers is that they never attack the issue. The statistics have not changed for over 20 years. 60% of the people that are homeless are there because of substance abuse problems, drugs and alcohol. 30% have mental health issues, and 10% are people that have fallen on hard times and will bounce right back. So with 60% of the people being homeless because of substance abuse problems, which are drugs or alcohol, why don't you guys never attack that? Because, look, they're going to lose. You can give them a place to stay, but they're going to lose it because of the substance abuse problems. Why don't you guys ever address the root cause of it? You never talk about that. And that's how come the problem persists, because the root cause of the problem is never addressed.
All right, Michael, I appreciate it. Excellent question, Daryl.
Well, let's talk about it. First of all, substance abuse is a serious problem, and methamphetamine especially on our streets. And yes, these are the people who tend to be those that plague the business corridors and the neighborhoods, and who desperately need not just shelter and housing, but they need intensive treatment as well. I disagree, though, about the characterization of the larger problem. The LA point in time count was very clear. The majority of people, the newly homeless, are those who are living on the economic edge and who are fragile. And so this is part of what makes it such a complex problem. The most chronically homeless, long-term homeless, tend to be the people living with the mental health and substance abuse issues. And you're absolutely right. We need to combine the triage shelter, the permanent housing with intensive services. We need more tools on the substance abuse side, absolutely. But it's also a housing problem, and I think we need to see it as such.
C. Shine writes on the page, this discussion is sadly devoid of real ideas. Here's one. Make it easier to get real medications. Currently, if you have multiple meds, you have to go back and forth and back and forth to drugstores. I'm bipolar, C. Shine writes. It's taken me 3 years to get my three medications on the same track for pickup. Use Covered California and relaxed laws on prescriptions to make it easier to get your meds consistently. Very, very simple. C. Shine, thank you for the post. Mayor Steinberg, I don't know if you've ever heard anything about that being an issue for people staying on mental health medications.
Well, I sure have. And I wish we had another half hour because we could talk and we should talk about the mental health system in California. And we are working again with the Newsom administration on sort of a separate track here to look at what it is going to take to fix this system. And, you know, I'm proud of Prop 63. We've got $2.4 billion of public money being infused into the system. It's actually doing great things and helping lots of people. But for most Californians who have a loved one or they themselves live with mental illness, it is still the most difficult system to navigate around medication, around finding a provider, and we don't have nearly enough providers. And making the mental health system better, making it easier to get through the front door, is going to be a key piece of making the homeless problem better, but also helping people who aren't homeless who suffer too much unnecessarily.
David in Sawtelle says, why can't there be designated areas for homeless Angelenos to set up tents like Veterans Park? Why is that a problem? Are you aware of any California cities that have done that, Mayor Steinberg?
I know some cities in other states have done this, including Seattle, Washington. And it's a question that comes up all of the time. I believe we should be getting people indoors, and I think that needs to be our driving force. And as I said earlier, while permanent supportive housing and fixing the long-term housing problem is the ideal, we can't wait 5 or 10 years before we create the capacity to bring people indoors. Is there a place in the meantime for sanctioned legal outdoor living? We're thinking about that up here in Sacramento, but I'm reluctant because I know the correlation between living outside for a lengthy period of time and bad health outcomes for people is significant and high. I think people should be living indoors with the services they need to reclaim their dignity and reclaim their lives. And maybe it won't be everybody, but it can be more people than we're currently able to help.
One of the things that I hear as a critique pretty consistently from the non-governmental service providers is they feel like they're in the trenches and that they really have a sense of who they're serving and what they're dealing with. And that if they got more public dollars, more resources going to do what they do, that they'd be highly effective, but that they're hamstrung. But instead that the state or county or city, whatever it is, wants to run the thing themselves. And so they have their own people and put their own committees together. So how do you respond to, you know, some of these providers who feel like they're really underutilized and under-resourced so the government could say they're doing it?
I think it is a fair criticism that it takes too long to get money out. For example, on the mental health side, it's been a known problem that some counties have had reserves that are too big and that government in general takes too long to actually get the money out the door. But the money generally goes to the nonprofit community. By and large, city governments and county governments don't actually run the programs. We rely on partnership with the nonprofits. And you're right, they're the heroes because they are actually in the trenches, but we're providing them the resources. They need more to be able to serve more people, and we need to do a better job of getting the money out the door faster.
We have so many questions we don't have time to take up, but Mayor Steinberg, would you be willing to come back in just a few weeks and take more listener questions about this? And there are just so many important issues for us to take up, and competing philosophies from the shelter approach to the permanent supportive housing to housing first. I'd like to get into some more of those specifics next time if we could.
I'd be happy to, including the mental health question in more detail if we could.
That'd be good, because I think a lot of us are really unclear the degree of priority that it has in this whole initiative. Mayor Steinberg, thank you as always. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Larry. Bye-bye.
He's mayor of Sacramento and co-chair of California's Commission on Homelessness and Supportive Housing with Mark Ridley Thomas, Daryl Steinberg, joining us on Air Talk. As always, a pleasure to have you with us today. We're off tomorrow for the Independence Day holiday, and I hope you have a wonderful one with your family and friends. I'll be back with you Friday for Air Talk and for Film Week at 11 o'clock here on 89.3. Fresh Air with Terry Gross is next. Her guest, Sarah Jessica Parker.